You're now listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, broadcasting from sunny Orange County, California. Filmmaker, journalist, and film historian, Paul Booth.
Aloha. Welcome to Talking Pictures with Paul Booth. I'm your host. I'm joined today by my other host, Mrs. Kai Lovell, for Review Talk with Paul and Kai. We're going to be discussing The Donut King, which I discovered at the Urban World Film Festival 2 weeks back. We were checking out the film Waikiki, which go in our archives. Please check it out. Awesome film. And I came across this and I thought, Donut King. I call my dad the Donut King. So what the heck could this be about? Started watching it. I'll read the synopsis in this. Actually, I'll read the synopsis, then I'll go into what made us absolutely, positively have to review this film. So, logline synopsis. Everything you thought you knew about the donut begins with Ted Nguyen. This is the unlikely story of a Cambodian refugee arriving in America in 1975. For you younger generation, that's around the time of the end of the Vietnam War. And he built a multi-million dollar empire baking America's favorite pastry, the donut. Ted's story is one of fate, love, survival, hard knocks, and redemption. It's a rags-to-riches story of a refugee. Donut Ted sponsored hundreds of visas for incoming refugees and help them to get on their feet, teaching them the ways of the donut business. By 1979, he was living this crazy thing we had called the American dream. But in life, great rise can come with great fall. Quick story, had to review this film because as I was watching the film, I saw that the donut store that Ted trained at was one I used to go to as a kid. And so I saw this. They flashed the donut store, and I was like, hey, Kai used to hang out behind that donut store. So I called Kai, and immediately, I was like, hey, Kai, do you remember the Winchell's Donuts? And what did you say, Kai? What was the store you named?
I don't know, so much pressure.
Orange Julius. So Kai was like, Orange Julius. And Orange Julius was like, when you're a kid, you can't go to Orange Julius, and it's like Pixie Sticks with vodka. So I could never go to Orange Julius, but I could. So as we've embarked on this journey, we've realized that we went to some of the same movie theaters, video stores. So I just thought this is all too crazy that we would go to the same Winchell's and Orange Julius. It doesn't get much more X factor than that. So Kai was like, yeah, I want to see it. So we decided that the reason to support such wonderful social topics like immigration, the American dream, racism, all this stuff, that the main reason would be that Kai and I used to go there for donuts. So, Kai, I'm going to let you start off like we usually do with tell us your thoughts about the documentary The Donut King coming to VOD at the end of the month.
Well, thank you so much for that amazing intro, Paul. I have to say what I love about the Donut King is that, you know, when you hear the name, obviously you're like, sweet, literally and figuratively, we're going to talk about some donuts. And I couldn't be more thrilled about that topic. But what I really liked about it is that it has this sub context of, this world that was happening at that time. And like you said, really does hit on the American dream and a person's certain willingness to chase that dream. And then also the willingness to extend that dream to others. And I feel like that is at the heart of this story, is just this person and what he did to extend love and future and success and livelihood to his countrymen. Because if anybody recalls like what was going on in 1975, other than, you know, Paul and Kai were going to come into the world shortly thereafter. you know, we're at the end of the Vietnam War. You know, at that time, one of the people who was mentioned and kind of like highlighted in this documentary was President Ford. And President Ford is an interesting character in the sense that he was only the president for a short period of time. And he was only the president really by accident and by proxy to President Nixon, formally stepping down before he was impeached. And he came in at a time where he really inherited like a shit show, you know, like he inherited this mess, you know, like a mess. in more ways than one. And one of those messes was what was going on in Southeast Asia, Cambodia included. If you look at Cambodia, Kampuchea at that point, because of what the Khmer Rouge had done to the people of Cambodia, it was a small country of only 7 million people. And over the time that they were under the regime of the Khmer Rouge, they had killed or executed, either these people had either been executed or died from starvation, malnutrition, illness. 2 million people out of 7 million people of an otherwise neutral country since the Geneva Agreement in 1954. So this is a very unprecedented time for the people of Cambodia. And what was happening to them was so lawless and it was so wrong. And so the least we could do was extend that, you know, extend that open door for them to come here to the United States. Now, the interesting part of what I find with Uncle Ted, as they call him, and as a local girl from Kauai, we call everyone Uncle and Auntie, who's an elder, so I love that he's Uncle Ted to everybody, is that when he came to the United States, he had that willingness. And when we talk about immigration, it's such a heated conversation now because of what's going on the border and with the current with the current person who sits in presidential office and the beliefs of that party, and what they've chosen to do. But at this time, it was significantly different. You know, we were trying to really clean up our image worldwide. And for the atrocities that had been done to the people of Southeast Asia by our hand, and really by the United States pulling out of these different places, shutting down their embassies at that time, it gave the insurgents the opportunity to take advantage of these people who had been left behind after our protection was no longer there. So we did owe them a solid, if you will. When Uncle Ted comes to the United States and ends up in California, it's just such a cool story that he smells, you know, an amazing smell and then goes to work. Like, I love that. And I know that we hear a lot about other donut franchises that might be a little bit more well-known, like Dunkin' Donuts on the East Coast. But for me, as a girl who's like, I'm a child of divorce. My mother's from Southern California, from Newport Beach. My father's from Kauai. I grew up back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I know about Winchell's. I wasn't really like a Dunkin' Donuts person. I'd heard of it and everything. But like, if you're from California, you know about Winchell's. You know about the Donut King, and you know about all these Crispies, like all of these different names. I was just laughing because I was looking at all of the names that were mentioned, and I was thinking, oh yeah, there's like so many Crispies and so many of these different names that were all over the Southern California area. And when you get on and off the freeway, like if you need donuts, if you just happen to be on the donut in the morning, it's on the freeway.
Right there. Off the 55, so exactly.
Yeah, like the 55, the 405, wherever you are, you score a donut. But I just thought it was really cool that he was so willing to learn. Like, he went to Winchell's and he did this like apprenticeship program to learn how to make donuts, to learn how to run that business. He was running a business, a Winchell's franchise, and then started his own at the same time because he's not a quitter. And, you know, there's that spirit of immigrants that I think is so looked over and can be so threatening. And why so many people in America get up in arms is because so many times people who come from devastating environments are very willing to go above and beyond. And then when you look at like the difference between immigrants who come from a country like Cambodia to a place like the United States, and then you look at the immigration issue with people from Mexico, South and Central America, if you even look at Native Americans and Hawaiians, like there's this really fine line between, you know, like what is immigration? What is the whole idea of colonialism? What is it to be compliant? And what is it to really, at the end of the day, be willing to participate in this union? Like, there are a lot of people from different countries that want to participate in this union. And when you look at like where we are right now in the country, there's all these different issues with slavery coming up and so many topics because of what's going on with Black Lives Matter. And why does that have anything to do with what's going on with the refugees from Cambodia? Because, you know, it really depends on what perspective you're looking at it from. A lot of people were brought here against their will, and then other people were very much wanting to be able to leave a place that they were looking at and facing certain death. So some people were coming here to certain death, and others were coming here to escape certain death. And so it really is just that perspective and really where we are in time.
I like that. Well, because it's also too, because this movie, what I loved about it too was that it didn't start to knock the Vietnam War. It didn't start to knock Americans who are racist. It was much like the way we talked about April's film didn't like go after men about pay. It kind of just said, hey, here's the facts, which I think a great documentary should do. But I also think sometimes docs are allowed an opinion. But what you were mentioning, and it's like, yeah, like when they said they held refugees at Camp Pendleton, it's like my dad was stationed at Camp Pendleton. So I was thinking like, wow, these, what it must have been like to your so-called enemies are now coming to the country. Of course, a totally different time because now immigrants looking for a better life. I'd love to get into that conversation, but we won't. And on a side note, all the opinions of myself and Kai are that of ourselves and the show. We're not saying that anything the distributor, filmmakers, Urban World Film Festival, or it's going to be played the Hawaii International Film Festival and Newport, which is a cool little X factor, that it's their opinion. So with that, this film served so well was how Ted was just such a survivor. And when you think about it, it's like Cambodia being bombed. Now, again, all due respect, I have the utmost respect and sadness for 9/11, but I realized as I was watching this film, I was like, New Yorkers didn't have to move to Turkey. They weren't being bussed out to go live in the Philippines. They weren't being napalmed day after day after day, not taking anything away from the tragedy of 9/11. So it kind of woke me up to what it would be like to have to wake up and just be gone. And I don't care. Tricky Dicky, he's kind of been pardoned because of the idiot that's in office. But Nixon was like Kai said, he was leaving office. He had bombed Cambodia without congressional. Back in the old days, you used to have to ask Congress for permission, for anybody who's behind on History 101. The tenacity that Ted had to overcome it, I mean, we'll really think about it. I mean, we have hard times when we have to move to like a new town where we understand the language and the culture. You and I had hinted at just moving to Hawaii, but it's like we had a parent or we had family and just having the frustration of not being in Newport anymore. So I was really looking to say through a whole new eye of like people making fun of how you talk. And this guy, Ted, was such an example and so inspiring. To have to overcome the actual experience of being an immigrant when all you really want to do is make donuts. You don't want to be a bad hombre. You don't want to be into prostitution or drugs. You don't want to do half the stuff that our leaders say immigrants do, even though they're immigrants and we're all immigrants. And that's what I really thought was cool and not cool, but that's what I really liked about it. And the film, you know, Alice Gu, I hope I pronounced her name right. We're going to try to have her on. She handled this film so well. She did such a fantastic job making this film. What material to handle. I'm going to tell you here about Alice Gu. She's a Los Angeles native, began her career as a cinematographer. She's worked with Pal Peralta, Beats by Dre, PETA, Apple. Let's see, it says Take Every Wave, the life of Laird Hamilton made its premiere. It was directed by Academy Award nominated director Rory Kennedy, and Alice Gu shot it. My gosh, she shot the Laird Hamilton movie. The Donut King is Alice's feature directorial debut. It premiered itself by Southwest, and it's coming out at the end of the month. So, we're going to be pumping that. We're so behind this film. Now, the next thing we're going to go into that I really liked was it addressed the social status and the American dream. Kai, please tell us what you think about we don't need to go into how you're open about how you've experienced both social status, both versions of the social status, but if you want to fire away as a person or just as a mom, how you feel about the American dream and how it would differ now from what generations before us faced.
Well, I mean, it's just funny to me because America, and once again, because of where they were coming from our arch nemesis, and by that I mean any country by which is communist. Like, America is a capitalist, democratic republic. We make no bones about it. I mean, it's all about making that dollar and using it as you're in the free market, do what you want to do. At the end of the day, this country, the United States of America, is very against the ideals of a communistic government and regime. And so the American dream represented here is this person coming to the United States, taking advantage of his creativity and being resourceful and really clinging to that level of survival and then sharing it with others behind him and attaining the things that people in this country respect. And that's money. Ultimately, this country respects business. They respect earning. They respect gross annual income. And if you can build a large empire of businesses, then we don't care if we're racist against you. And I mean that as a collective we, in the sense that, like, so what? People can't understand what you're saying. You're running huge businesses. You make millions of dollars. You've got a big house on the lake. Your family is going to good schools. They're getting great education. You're traveling all over the world. You are now living the American dream. Like, if you have become a businessman, you will be respected. You might not be accepted. You might not be liked, but you will be respected for your dollars because capital takes precedence. I mean, look at who's sitting in office at this point. I mean, if you even just look at him, he's questionable at first glance. I mean, the person is orange. He's been rocking a comb over since the early 80s, and that is a questionable fashion choice. But according to the rest of the world, he is a successful businessman. I did not say business person and or business woman. He is a successful businessman, and that is to be respected. Now, is it to be liked? Is it to be smart, intelligent? Not necessarily. Like, is he known as a shrewd businessman? Sure. I mean, he can evade taxes. That's amazing. But is he good at, like, running a country? Not so sure about that. But business, hey, he's a good capitalist. So I feel like that was really
it's the game, and that's what I like that you said that because it is a game. I mean, let's face it, at the end of the day, it is a game. Whether you're honest, dishonest, we are figuring out how to play it and what to do. It's what you do with the game pieces. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but you made such a great point about that.
It's true. It's true. And you think about, like, the American dream is like to be leisurely. Like, we want to watch football. We want to watch sports. We want to participate in having pools and going on vacations and spending time in leisure. Like, what other countries really do that and are committed to that? That's part of the American dream. And the only way you can afford that dream is to earn enough capital to then pay for that.
And it's, when you think about it, it's almost like, how is that the dream as opposed to where this guy's dream is, like he had said, family eats, have a job, have money, direct quote. And then you just end up with this, as you've seen and discussed, 3-story mansions on the Mission Viejo Hills. That seems so, and still does, I never say never, but obtainable just has not obtainable because of the American dream. I think our generation faces that. I had a friend the other day who bought a house and literally was just like, I never thought I'd own a home because what the American dream's become. And it wasn't, It was just like in a positive way. It was just like, holy crap. Doesn't matter where it is. I have a home. So I know we were brought up and I was upper middle class. So I did have parents who had houses that they would flip or did have 2 cars. And then, you had mentioned your background, to me. And so we definitely grew up on the lucky side of things, to where we're not having to have parents who are learning a language, hoping they're not called names. Gosh, I'm 80s California. I couldn't even imagine he didn't discuss if he was robbed, or especially in that skanky part of Winchell's and down by there with all the drunk college idiots. So this guy really overcame a lot of stuff. Then something he did, even giving back to the greater good, which Kai, I'd love to know your thoughts on that. You get a visa and then you want to help other people get a visa. You don't want to just hog your mansion and hog all your donuts. So what do you think about that?
I love it. That's my favorite part about him. Like, he's just always smiling and always just loving helping people. And even though he makes like amazing donuts, his favorite donut is the most simplistic, just a glazed donut. Like, I just love everything about him. He's willing to work 24 hours a day, or like, you know, that funny, like 25 hours, 8 days a week. Like, that's the kind of work ethic he has, that level of willingness, and really the willingness of the whole family. And why so many people who come from these immigrant backgrounds, and what I loved about it with this next generation that's sort of like taking the torch from their parents ahead of them, is that they still have that within them. Like, it's sort of the opening of the documentary is this really cute, like young 20 something girl who's like, if you come from the family of like an immigrant business worker, you will have grown up in that business. And it's so true, because one of the reasons why they're just fiscally kicking everyone's butt year after year is because they have like, you know, 6 to 10 employees, and, you know, 4 to 6 of them work for free like all day, every day.
Right.
Winchell can't really compete with that. And at the end of the day, like, it's just such a cool, and it's not in a bad way. And I don't want that to come off like in a negative connotation, like in a child labor way or anything. It's just, even in Hawaii, like, I was born in Hawaii and then grew up back and forth between California and Hawaii, and like slowly moved more into like a Western mentality. But you just do things from a young age, and you're never like, I never thought about like getting an allowance, or I never felt entitled to things. I was just like, if an adult told me to do something, you just like do that. And the only time you say anything is if you have a question on how to do that, you know, not like to talk back or anything. And I just think that there's still that level of respect within the culture. And I love that. And that the next generation has not only kept that as part of like their golden seal of how they're running their businesses, but really to show their parents like that they can entrust them with the keys to the castle, and adding this whole new level of creativity with like social media and new flavors and all kinds of fun stuff, because we love donuts. And by we, I just mean like humans in general. I don't know anyone who doesn't love a donut. Even if you can't eat gluten, you want to.
And like, yes. And gluten-free donut like, sucks, by the way.
Who doesn't want a donut? You know, it just makes you happy. And it is. It's very comforting. So I just really
shares
that. It does. I mean, it's simply stated that this makes you happy. And the fact that he was able to help so many people, once again, just coming from such a dire experience. Like, these people lost their country. They lost their country. And they lost, when someone loses their country, but they still have their family, you know, that's, you can work with that. And then when you really can work, even if you are in a strange place, in a strange land where you don't know what anyone's saying or what's going on, at the end of the day, if someone who you trust can teach you how to do something to then provide for your family, that's such an amazing gift. It sort of goes back to that age-old saying, like, you can bring a man a fish, or you can teach him to fish, and then he can bring his family fish forever and ever. So it's just a wonderful gift. And he's Uncle Ted. What a guy.
Uncle, I know, I loved it too. And one of the last things I want to say is that I loved how the family business, of course, my parents having a restaurant for 22 years, that I just got to see that working at a young age, being like 12 and learning how to make pizzas and sweep. And, you know, of course, everybody loves pizza. Pizza makes you happy. So I really related to it on that part. I really want people to watch this. I will update the review This will be coming out. You'll be listening to this at the end of October, and it'll have the info there for you about where you can watch it on video on demand. And as we go into our last 2 minutes, I just wanted to say thank you to Alice and to Sunshine Stacks PR and Dixon. We really appreciate you guys letting us check this out. Aside from the fact we also got to just bond over multiple memories off air. So if there's anything in the last 2 minutes that you want to close with, feel free, Kai.
The only thing I would say is that I think that this story is important in the sense that it really highlights something that is the backdrop of a lot of people's lives. Like, if you are from California and you've just sort of driven around because it's such a commuter type of a state, it's definitely sentimental to know the story of the people and the places that have inadvertently played such a big part in your life, you know? So I thought that was really right. Cool. Like, I think sometimes the stories that are hiding in plain sight for so, so long are so interesting and so important to learn. And then to realize that it's tied to topics that are so current right now, like what you're saying with immigration, how we didn't even touch on the tip of the iceberg of what's going on with that right now. It's just very interesting to see where we are as a country and how much the perspectives can change and the opinions can change on that in such a short time.
Right. Such a valid point. And yeah, and also too, I think it was great. The last thing I would say, that my favorite thing about the film is the way that it can open so many topics. And as you said, so many memories, and to think that just some little place was, I mean, as long as we've known each other, but I mean, if it wasn't for this film, we would have never talked about Winchell's Donuts. So for that to open up all these things that we can access, understand about culture, where we're from and all that stuff, what a film, what a wonderful film. So that's going to do it for me and my co-host, Mrs. Kai Lovell. Whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening, make sure and watch a good movie. Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, real conversation and movie-induced inspiration.